Hey.
How's it going?
Good.
So the song, a long song, man. A lot of verses. I was surprised. But good. I mean, they're not so long verses. It's a, you know, right? So what did you, were you paying attention? What was it talking about? God made a whole bunch of stuff, right? Did you notice any of them? What did God make? Creatures, like, you know, dogs and stuff. Flowers, birds, mountains. So the world, right? That's cool. Only God could do that. The verse that Keith's going to read later talks about something else God made. It says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So some people who translated that verse use masterpiece. I like handiwork. That's cool. Do you use that word a lot? Handiwork, even that's an old word, right? Do you hear that word a lot, handiwork?
No.
While I was Googling, I typed in, you know, what's a children's story I can do for Ephesians 2:10, right? I mean, Google knows everything. And it said, get a quilt. So I said, hey, do we have any quilts? And Emery says, hey, we've got this really cool quilt. So my sister-in-law made this. And my wife likes to put it on the bed. And she's cold, so she puts it on the bed, and then she opens the window because she's hot. And you'll find out more about that in about 30 years. It's really fun. So my sister-in-law Lisa made this out of lots of pieces, right? Now, I think she's probably, I don't know, you could probably count, there's probably 6 blankets she cut up to make this. You know the tradition of making quilts, 200 years ago? You'd be using up lots of scrap. So you'd have a blanket that wore out and there's like a quarter of it still useful, or some old pants that people had worked so hard that all the pieces were gone. And so you'd have all these bits and pieces and you'd make them all into squares, all the same size. And then once they're all the same size squares, then you can sew it together and you can make a new quilt. So the idea, the relation between all those three, if I can try to tie it together, God made us out of a bunch of pieces, and I'm less thinking about a hand than an arm, because I don't even want to think about if you put those pieces together in a different order. That just sounds bad, right? But some of us are good at sports. Some of us are good at writing things down. Some of us are good at art. Some of us are good at planning, at organizing, at explaining ideas or asking questions. And whatever those things are, at caring for people, at empathy, which is feeling sorry for people, all those things that went into the quilt that we are, if I'm kind of stretching there, God put those pieces together so that we could do the work that He has set out for us. So we don't know yet maybe what God wants us to do as part of His big puzzle. He's already made mountains. We're not going to be mountains. We're going to be something else. And He's put those pieces together, and we'll figure out, hopefully, what He wants us to do as part of His plan to help do His work. And His work is about helping people and spreading the word, because everybody needs to hear the good news. So I'll say a little prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for making us as part of your handiwork. Thanks for your great handiwork that made the earth and the purple-headed mountains and the flowers, but also that made us as we are, and help us to see how we can be part of your work to restore your relationship with all of mankind. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, we do give you thanks for the beauty of your creation. And it is a wonderful song. It just recalls to us that you are the creator of all things, and you've made all things great and small, and that the beauty of this planet and the sun, the moon, the stars, Lord, it's just, we forget And so we just pause today just to say thank you for the beauty of your creation and the beauty of the variety of the creation. Even here in this congregation, the variety of men and women from different parts of the world, Lord, you've brought all together as a, like a quilt. You've brought us all together for your purposes. And so, Lord, we give you thanks for everything you've given us. We know your hand has been upon us these many years as a congregation. We know your hand is on our lives as husbands, wives, families, parents, grandparents. And Lord, we pray that that will continue. We pray that we will listen to you and watch for your move in our lives. And us as a congregation, Lord, we give you thanks for your faithfulness for nearly 200 years. And Lord, we pray for our congregational meeting today, Lord, as we make decisions about the road ahead and the future. What does it look like for us as a congregation? And Lord, because we have that testimony of your faithfulness, Lord, we have a level of trust, Lord, that your hand is still going to remain with us, and you will guide and direct us into the right path going forward. Lord, we pray for those who have been sick. And particularly, Lord, we're thinking of Gary and Melanie Goodwin, who have been really under the weather these last few weeks and really struggling with health issues. So, Lord, we lift them up to you this morning. Lord, we just ask you to touch them with just healing mercies. Restore them to health and vitality, we pray. Lord, we give thanks for our sister Tony as we return home from Vancouver, where she's visiting her brother Alex, who's going through some treatment for cancer. We just ask you to bring a blessing of healing upon Alex and to keep Tammy's heart at peace and at rest. That all things are in your hands and you will guide and direct her brother through this illness. Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters in the other churches in Newmarket. Lord, we pray for the messages that are going out from various pulpits around the town. Lord, we pray that your word will go out and the eyes and ears and hearts and minds will be open to see your word, to hear your word, receive your word, and have life-changing experiences and encounters with Jesus. Lord, we pray for our homes and our families. We pray for peace, for joy, for laughter, the gentle words to be shared between husband and wife and parent and child, child and parent. Now let us take some time in ourselves. We each came here today with a burden from last week and maybe some anticipation of something difficult times ahead in your home, your family, your life. But you also have things to be thankful for and to give God thanks for. So meet with him now. Meet with him now. Heavenly Father, we know that you are love and you extend your love across this world to everybody who wants to turn to you. We ask you to bless each one of us here, our homes and our families. Lord, may we always be looking to you for the wisdom and guidance we need in daily life. Speak to us, Lord, we pray, for we're here to listen. And we pray. pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. When we talk about missionary work or mission, there's a tendency to think of the church sending people to other countries to help people in need, to show God's love in other places in the world. But I'd like to suggest to you today that missionary work is not something the church does, but that mission and missionary work is the very nature of God. That God is the missionary. God is the one who sends and has always been the one doing the sending. In John 15:26, Jesus says to the disciples, "When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me." And in John 20, after the resurrection, when Jesus appears to his disciples, he says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." So we've got this levels, if you like, of sending. As the Father sent the Son sends the Spirit, and the Spirit sends the Church. All of us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Church, all engaged in missionary work. All gathered into this epic mission of God. So what is this mission of God that it needs this fantastic story from creation to revelation? It needs this magnificent story, this great sweep of scripture for God to accomplish his mission. And I'd like to suggest to you that God's mission is just this. God's mission is love. He wants his creation to return to him. And his mission is to send out his message of love and reconciliation and peace to the entire world. Mission is about sending, and sending has to be with a purpose. You can't imagine a small child at home, a mother saying, "Would you run down to the shops for me?" "Yeah, okay. What for?" There has to be a purpose. Would you go down and get a pound of potatoes or whatever? There has to be purpose in the sending. And God has purpose in his sending. He has purpose in his mission. And his mission is very simple. The world is lost. And God's message is, "Return to me." And as the Father sent the Son with that message, and the Son sent the Spirit to embolden the church, to send the church with that message across the world. "I love you," God says. "Return to me." So there's this epic story, this magnificent play that God has written. And God calls each one of us as players and actors, if you like, in this story of redemption. God is the lead actor. He's the headliner, if you like. Okay? He's not visible except by impact. We see God's hand working, then we can each speak and testify to the impact that knowing God has had on our lives. So if we've entered into fellowship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, we are assigned a role. If you like, we've become a player on this stage, we've got a role, we've got a script, and we're part of this great story. And this is what the story is about. We find this, just this, it's a lot of times in the New Testament it explains what God's story is about. I've chosen this one from Romans 8. It says, "For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time." Would you agree that God's creation is groaning today? There's not a lot of good news today. The whole planet is suffering and groaning under the burden of human beings who brings sin and terror and violence to every part of the world. And God is on this great mission to redeem his creation, to liberate it from its bondage to decay, to make it again holy, complete, pure, unblemished, to restore it to the perfection that it once had. At the end of Genesis 1, Genesis 1:31, it says this: God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. I don't think we can say that today about the planet we live on. Oh, it's very good. Yeah, we sing the song, all things bright and beautiful, all the beautiful things that God made, but not of all the ugly things that we make. And God's mission is to redeem that. And it's a great mission to be part of. And we were saved for the purposes of serving on that mission. Ephesians 2:10, Stephen's read it already, we'll read it a couple more times. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We were created and we've been saved with the specific intention of serving in Christ's, God's mission to the world. We, the redeemed, are the handiwork of God. And now that we are in Christ and a new creation, we're being prepared and equipped for this service, for this service, for good works. And God already knows what these good works are, because he's prepared for us for them. He's prepared them for us in advance. God's mission is the redemption and the restoration of this world. His creations become disfigured, distorted, destroyed by sin. So God's on this massive restoration project, this massive redemption project. And he's asking each one of us to serve alongside him in that mission. Now, each one of us has our own unique salvation story. Each one of us has a unique salvation story. There was a time in our lives when we crossed over, scripture calls it crossing over from death to life. When we were born again, someone came alongside us and spoke the words of salvation to us, and our hearts and our spirits were quickened, and we became aware that I once was blind, and now I see. I once was lost, and now I'm found. Each one of us who's a follower of Jesus Christ has had an experience like that in our lives. John 5:24 says, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. Now, once we crossed over from death to life, once we went from being in the kingdom of this world into the kingdom of God through faith in Jesus Christ, we were transferred from a different part of God's story to another part of God's story. We became part of the rescue mission to this planet. Formerly, we were part of the lost. We are part of the blind people that cover this planet, bumping into one another, sinning, falling away. We were part of that crowd. But once our eyes were opened, we were like handed a new script. No, you're a different player now. You're playing on this side of the story now. There are only two roles in God's story. There's the lost looking to be saved, and there's the saved looking for the lost. Did you get that? There are only two kinds of human beings. They're either lost and desperately looking to be saved, or they're saved with a mission to go look for the lost. There's no spectators. There's no passengers on this ship. We talked about the Oscars earlier on, today, I guess. And there are people in scripture, certainly maybe in the world today, that are the heroes, the Oscar winners, if you like. And Hebrews 11 talks about that. It talks about the heroes of the faith. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Moses, the great names from scripture. And at the end of Hebrews 11, it says, and what more shall I say? The author says, what more can I say? I don't have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. There are so many listed in scripture, heroes, men and women, who knew what their task was, knew what their role and their script was in God's wonderful story, and they lived it out. And perhaps even in our own time, we could talk about people like Dietrich Bonhoeffer or Mother Teresa or Billy Graham. These sort of Oscar winners, if you like, the people who really put it out there and have gone right into the public eye in serving God and serving his kingdom. They did the Lord's bidding on the spotlight of the world stage. Now, for all these named people, just like the Oscars tonight, will only show on television certain awards that are given, you know, the best actor, best supporting actor, best director. But throughout this previous week, a whole bunch of other awards have been given to some very unknown people. All the people in that industry who are working in the background, the sound techs, the cinematography, all the other different sub-awards, if you like. But we only see the named ones on the TV tonight. We only see the big names and the stars of that industry applauding each other. But there are a whole bunch of other players that made their success success. So I don't think any of us are going to be called to such a public calling as someone like Billy Graham or Mother Teresa, but nonetheless, we're part of this mission. We're part of this movement of God on the world. We have a role and we have a job to do, each one of us. And when we begin in that role, we may feel ill-equipped. And it's a truth. Someone asks you, would you do this job in the church? And you go, oh, I don't know if I can do that. I remember my own experience back in my Anglican church days of coming into the church with, you know, a few children in tow, and the Sunday school superintendent just grabbed my arm and she said, oh, the grade 7 teacher hasn't shown up today, can you take that class? I was raised Roman Catholic, so I never went to Sunday school because we got our religious education in the school. So, you know, I had 29 years old, 30 years old, with a couple of kids in tow, and suddenly I'm not only in the Sunday school class, I'm at the front of the Sunday school class teaching. That went on to be like a 30-year career in Sunday school teaching, which was awesome. Learned an awful lot. But at the time, I felt very ill-equipped. But I took the job and got myself equipped. God equipped me to carry on that as a long mission. He doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called in his mission. So if you've been called into the kingdom service, then God will equip you. You have the Holy Spirit to draw on, the gifts of the Spirit. For some it's teaching, preaching, leading small group ministry. For others it's hospitality, giving, serving. Right in the vacuum cleaner. That's service. Others are great encouragers, they're organizers, administrators. And each one of them is a vital role. May not win an Oscar for it, but it's a vital role in the ongoing life of God's church. In Romans 12, Paul talks about this. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, us, we who are many, form one body. And each member belongs to all the others. Like the quilt. Those patches have just didn't belong to each other, now they do. They're stitched right next to each other. Each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Paul is saying that it's a patchwork quilt here of all kinds of different people, gifted in different ways, but God has called them all into one mission, to work alongside God in redeeming the world. In 1 Corinthians 12, it says there are different kinds of gift, but the same Spirit, different kinds of service, but the same Lord, different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given enough, given through the Spirit, the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith, to another gifts of healing, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. Look at that list. Prophesying, serving, teaching, encouraging, contributing, leadership, mercy, knowledge, wisdom, healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits. They're not an exhaustive list at all. It doesn't have vacuum cleaning in there, does it? Or putting on the coffee pot, right? But those are services too. Some people have a wonderful, wonderful gift of hospitality, and they quietly do their service every Sunday here, providing the coffee and refreshments and cleaning up afterwards. Oscar-winning roles. So what is yours? What is your role? What is your calling? Like I said, there's only two kinds of people on this world stage. The lost, who are looking to be saved, and the saved, who are looking for the lost. There's no passengers, there's no spectators. You've got to be doing one or the other. What's your role? When your salvation, gift of salvation was given to you, a role and a purpose was given to you as well in Christ's church. How is God calling you into his mission? That's our question. For individually, that's our question. How is God calling me into service in his kingdom, in his church? And even as we're called individually and gifted uniquely and given individual identities in this play, in this mission, God also calls us collectively. Further on in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul writes, the body is a unit that is made up of many parts. And though the parts, all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but many. So the body of Christ is made up of a whole bunch of different parts. As we discovered, we are a mix of people here at Christian Baptist, and he's assembling people. We can see that already. Just a few weeks ago, we had that wonderful service, the Gathering of the Nations. We preached on Revelation 7-9. And we had a parade of children down the front here, and they were carrying the flags of 14 countries that are represented right here in this congregation. Such a small congregation. And God has called people from 14 different countries. At least 14. That's the number we could count. And here we all are. It's not a coincidence. That just didn't happen. It's just, oh, it's just the way things are. No, that's God picking people, bringing the team together, hand-picking each man, each woman, each child, and saying, you're part of that local body. You're part of that local representation. So in as much as God gifts each one of us individually for service in his kingdom, he equips a church, a body, for a particular mission in his kingdom. And our challenge is to find out what our part in his mission is. What is God calling Christian Baptists to in the weeks, months, and years ahead? And what's he calling us uniquely to? Not the church across the street, or the one down the corner, or the one on the other side of town, us. What's he calling us to? What's our part in God's mission? We have to find that out. Is he calling us to the poor, to the homeless, to the refugees, to the single parent homes, to the ex-convicts, to the women and girls who have been rescued from human trafficking, to the immigrant who doesn't speak English very well, like me, and needs to navigate life in Canada, needs help understanding the forms and the governments, the three levels of government and all the things that we have to do as Canadians. We do it naturally now. But imagine an immigrant from a not as well structured society as ours, landing in Canada and being bewildered by the system that seems to work so well for most of us. What's our calling? What's our calling? What's God asking Christian Baptists? You guys, this is where I want you to work. This is where I want you to serve. And it's our job as a congregation to join in prayer and say, Lord, how are you equipping us? Where do you want us to serve? What are we going to be doing for your glory? Where can we join you in your mission to earth? See, ministry and mission are team sports. Each one has a role. And I'm going to repeat the phrase, there are no passengers on the ship. There are no spectators. It's not God's intention. It was not Christ's intention. The people can just be passengers and along for the ride. Everybody has a job to do. Everybody has some work to do. Even if it's only picking up the phone and giving a word of encouragement to the people who are in leadership, to the people who are carrying the burdens. Everybody has a job to do. Everybody is gifted. It's time now for all hands on deck. The world is drifting further and further away from God's will. It's spiraling down to a terrible place. And the only people that can give the word of hope and love and redemption is you and me. We won't be able to save them all, but we can save some. You may not be able to speak to 10,000 people, you know, 10 times a year like Billy Graham used to do, but you can probably speak to 10 people in 1 year. You can speak to a friend at work, colleague, neighbor, family member. Speak of God's love. Speak of his calling. There's a story about the man taking a stroll along the beach and he sees a little boy running backwards and forwards from the beach to the water. The beach to the water. As he gets closer, he sees that the boy's picking something up and throwing it in the water and coming back and picking something up and throwing it in the water. As the man got closer, he saw that like thousands and thousands of starfish had been washed up on the beach. And the boy was picking them up one at a time and taking them down to put them back in the water. And the man asked the boy, what are you doing? He says, I'm saving these starfish. The man says, there's 10,000 of them here. You can't possibly save them all. And the boy picked one up and took it down, dropped it in the water and came back. And the man said, it's ridiculous what you're doing. He says, I helped that one, didn't I? You can't save the 10,000, but I can save some. I can't speak to everybody of God's love, but I can speak to some. I can begin to get one person's mind focused on God's calling on their life. So many are being deceived and carried away, even in churches, it's sad to say, who are not getting the gospel, who are not getting the truth. I like to see the church as a rescue ship in a war zone. And it's going through treacherous waters, finding those who need to be rescued, picking up the lost and the wounded, and bringing God's healing, saving word to them who don't know him, introducing them to their Savior, Jesus Christ. It's not a cruise ship inviting people on for a comfortable ride. We're in a war zone. Let's get a war zone mentality going. Our job is to bring the mission of God's love and redemption to the world. We're going to be breaking shortly for our annual meeting. Now we're going to try and complete the administrative component as efficiently as possible and move into a workshop that we've called Looking Forward. And we'd like everybody's participation. We're going to break into groups in that workshop and we're going to ask four questions. How is God calling you into his mission? How is God inviting us collectively to participate in his mission? What gift has God given you for his mission? And how do you see God using you and your gift in his mission? And that use of that phrase, his mission, is very, very important. It's not for us to go and create a mission, because we were created to serve in good works that he has already prepared for us to do. It's for us to find out what he's called us to do and go and join him in that mission. See, God's been engaged in this mission since the beginning of time, since the creation story unfolded. God invites us individually first into his kingdom through faith in Jesus Christ. And in that invitation comes a gifting for service and an assignment in the service of his kingdom. What is your gift? What is your assignment? And what is our assignment? Those are the questions facing us today. We were saved to serve. So let's serve. Let's pray. Father God, forgive us for thinking it was about us. God, forgive us that we just said a prayer of acceptance of Jesus Christ and we enjoy our salvation, we enjoy being known by you through Jesus Christ. Lord, forgive us for not realizing that there was work to do. Forgive us for focusing on the trivia and losing sight of the mission. Lord, open our eyes today by the move of your Holy Spirit. Open our eyes individually and collectively to understand what mission, what part of your mission you're calling us to at Christian Baptist Church. Go before us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.